Have a little joy. Have a little joy. You know, I'm so grateful for the ability to have joy, the ability to stand in agreement with the Lord and to see the world through His eyes and to be changed through His eyes. I'm so grateful for the opportunity just to be able to be up here and to talk and to release for people and to just examine and to say whatever it is that God is putting in my heart in the moment. Because see, that's not something that everybody gets to do. You know, there was a day when I wondered if that had already done the last one I could ever do. And I'm so, you know, this weekend I got a chance to go fish and I broke my fast. I understand. You just got to sometimes. But I broke my fast and I went fishing. And so, but I got a chance to just enjoy it, just enjoy the nature, just enjoy what God was doing and enjoy what He has already done and what is yet to come. To recognize that there's some things that He stirs in us that are important and to be able to release those things. Hallelujah. So with that, I just wanted to just kind of touch base because in this time of the pandemic, one of the things that I recognize is there's a lot of people who have felt at different moments as if they were all alone. There's a whole lot of people, you know, there's people, especially the ones who are having to tune in online, who just feel like you're all alone. But I want everybody to know that you're not alone. We were never intended to be alone. That was the reason that God created woman, so we wouldn't be alone. We were never intended to have to be just the way we are. He wanted us to know that we have a place of fellowship with Him. And that place of fellowship with Him is what He's restoring us to. It's what He's returning us to. Hallelujah. But there's something that happens in that restoration process. There's something that has to happen for that restoration to occur. And right here in Matthew 27 in verse 40, it's our Lord and Savior. And He's up on the cross. And He's on the cross and He's hanging there on the cross. He's physically in agony. He's emotionally in agony. And here's the people that come, they come with a challenge to Him and they say, are you going to destroy the temple? You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. They just throw it up in His face. Save yourself. Then they issue this challenge. If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. I find it interesting because when we read back in Luke 4 chapter 4 verse 3, the devil comes and he looks at Jesus and he says this. He says, "If you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God." In Luke 3:22, we know that as Jesus was being baptized, the Father had come to Him and said this. He said, this is My Son, My beloved Son. So Jesus already came knowing what was already upon Him and where He was and what was within Him. He knew and understood who He was at that moment. Father spoke it not for Jesus' sake because it was already set, but to announce it to the rest of the world. And still, the enemy comes to challenge Him with, if you be the Son of God. If you be the Son of God. And that's the whole challenge that it presents to each and every one of us as He's still continually asking us, if you be a son. If you be a daughter. If you be a child of God. When you come, when you feel like you're all alone, that's what the actual question is, are you a son? Are you a daughter? Have you been connected to Me? Have you been connected to someone? Have you come into this place of relationship with the Father? Because see, once we are in relationship with the Father, then when there's no more anything that the enemy can put in front of us that will steal us away from the truth that we are the Son. There's nothing that He's going to put in front of us that's going to take us out of the place that He's ordained. There's such a power in this room right now. There's such a power and authority up in this room right now. It's amazing what God is doing in this place. But he's doing this so that we recognize that we're not alone. He's doing this so we can recognize that we're not alone. And as we recognize that, then we can begin to step into the place of the habitation that he has. The whole purpose of the right hand, the whole purpose of everything that we've been pursuing here is so that we recognize who we are in Christ. And that recognition changes us. It changed Jesus. It causes us to be light bearers. It causes us to bear the light and bear the image of Christ. I so appreciated Tina's message last Wednesday. And if you haven't heard it, I believe we'll get it up this week. But just let's definitely take advantage of the opportunity. So how many were here for that? That was like outstanding. I would call it a masterpiece with a capital M. You was here? You was here? It was a masterpiece with a, masterpiece with a capital M. Because she began to just exhort about the very restoration that God is doing. She began to exhort and just let us know about this image of Christ that was available to us in the garden and how God is bringing us back into this image so that we could just begin to present ourselves before the garden and begin to be taken into what we were supposed to be. She spoke about this place of being modified. Being modified. See, and that word caught my attention because, see, coming from a car culture, being modified is kind of where it's at. If it's modified, it's better. So if something is modified, and you're improving it. But the problem is if the original version was perfect, any modification is making it less than what it was. When I was a young lad, I you like that story? This last week feels like last week. When I was a young lad, I had this motorcycle. A friend of mine had this. He was selling it to me, and I never finished making all the payments, so I never got to keep it. But I moved to Houston instead, and that was a whole nother story. But this motorcycle was a chopper, and it was chopped out, and it had a 45-degree rake on it with a 10-inch extension, so the front tire was way out there. It had a beautiful blue paint job with skulls and stuff smoked all the way into the glass. It was impressive. There was only one problem. Because it was modified like that, it turned out it was exactly the length, the width of a railroad track. And so when you tried to go over a railroad track and it was wet, if that was wet and you tried to turn or lean or had the brake on, it was all over. I mean, because it was so, you know, it's a railroad track, that steel is super slick to rubber when it's wet. So being modified in some ways made it less than what it was. Now, it made it pretty, and that's a lot of times our modifications that we do, Tina, are about making us pretty, making us look good to somebody else, making us look good, but the reality is it covered up something that was a huge mistake. It was so long that you didn't steer it by turning the wheel. You only leaned it, and you lean it, and it would go around the corner, and then you lean it, and it'd go around the corner. But if you turn the wheel, it just flipped over. So see, the modification left something to be desired, even if it looked cool. It looked great, but the modification actually caused it to be less like the image that it was intended to be and to be less functional than the image it was created out of. That word that she gave, I believe, Tina did a great job Friday night. Justin did an awesome job. It's amazing the number of words and the number of people who are stepping up right now. We have so many people who are stepping up and sharing and leaving and releasing their heart into this facility. We even have LaRue. Amen. Amen. She just told you to say amen, right? That's it. But the words that are coming forth right now are dynamic. The words that are coming forth are changing lives. And that's what we're here to do, is recognize that God is here, and he's present in this place, and he's present in each and every one of us. And we all have something to share and to care with one on another. And as we share and as we release, there's a change that happens in our heart, but there also is a change that's happening even in this atmosphere. Amen. Thank you. What causes us to come into the place of thinking that we're alone is when we somehow get ourselves away from that image. The thing that we can do, all, each and every one of us, we can have as much of God as we want. It's really up to our hunger and our defenses. Sometimes our defenses are things that we don't even think about, defenses that we don't even process or don't even look at or even acknowledge that they're there. I don't have any defenses, Brunner. I don't have any issue. That's a defense right there, another denial.
I don't know what you're talking about.
LaRue definitely doesn't know what I'm talking about. I can tell you, he doesn't know what I'm talking about. Defense of denial is strong in that one. Was. Oh, okay. But see here, let me just give you an example of how innocuous it can be, because the other day Carlos came over to my house and I happened to be next door with my mother, and he came over and said, "Hey, there's a bunch of water running down your driveway." And I went over there and we looked, because I was concerned, because I didn't leave water running down my driveway. And so I went over there and looked, and it turned out that the hose had burst and it had been left on, and the end of it was turned off. But when it was left on, it was still pressurized up. And so when it burst, water's running down the driveway. My first reaction was to say, "I wonder if the yard guy left it on. I wonder if the yard guy." The yard guy. I did. And actually I have a yard guy, but Carlos, the first thing he said, "Pastor, I've seen you turn that on and leave the other turned off. Thanks, bro." Because see, that's just a defense mechanism. I like to be right. I am right most of the time. Chad tells me I am. But see, if I'm wrong, I don't want anybody knowing that I was wrong. And I want to just chop that off right at the head. And that was all that was a defense mechanism rising itself up so I could see it. Thank you. Thank you for sharing in my life, helping to hone me into the person I'm supposed to be, right? Because see, the defenses that you employ will keep you from God. The defenses that you employ towards others and towards yourself. Sometimes those defenses have nothing to do with anybody but me. I'm just simply trying to keep myself from seeing my mistake. Because if I can't admit my mistake to myself, then I don't have to admit it to you. Until Carlos shows up in your house. Hallelujah. See, the relationship we have with God is up to us. But that relationship is not earned by our works. That relationship, however, can be honed by our attention. It can be grown by our attention. Hallelujah. So with all that, I want to just turn to the same story in Luke. In Luke 23. Because I began to see that when I understand something, I understand that I'm not alone. I understand that I'm not alone because I begin to recognize Christ is in me. And if I begin to recognize that Christ is in me, that means I can do things differently than I was doing them before. And it means I can do some things I wasn't able to reach into before. And that means, like, for example, I'm going to use an example here of forgiveness. But now I can forgive. Because why? Because it's not just me in the matter, in the middle of it. When I begin to employ Christ in my understanding of myself, and I begin to engage with Christ and begin to engage with Him as it being in me, now I can begin to forgive somebody in situations that I could not release before. Amen? Let's see an example from Christ's life. Verse 33, and they came to a place called the Skull, and there they crucified Him and the criminals, one on the left, one on the right. And Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Did that mean that they didn't know that they were persecuting Him? They definitely knew they were persecuting Him. They definitely thought, they definitely knew that they were placing Him in the most bitter situation they could possibly create. They know the pain that they were inflicting. What he's talking about is they didn't know why they were doing this. They didn't know what was going on in their hearts and the reason that this had to happen, the sacrifice that was being made so that the freedom that could be released. But here it is, he's forgiving in this moment. He's forgiving with his last breaths. Like Stephen. Yes, exactly. Acts 7:60, you see Stephen forgiving with his last breath. See, there's something about those last breaths that's very, very special. I had a friend of mine who came to me and he just needed to confess and get something off his chest because it was bothering him so bad because he went scuba diving. And when he was on scuba diving, they went under this, into this little cave, and somehow something happened to his regulator and he was no longer getting air. And so he's in this cave and he's cut off from being able to ascend. And he gets on his wife's head and pushes off so he could get out and get up to the top. The panic had set in. He was out of breath, out of air, and out of time. And now all of a sudden there's just something in our put together that just shifts everything. And he just poof, pushed off from her so he could get to the top. Even though he didn't know at that moment, but later what he was realizing, it was endangering her at his expense. He felt terrible about it, but in that moment it was just an immediate response that came from the need for oxygen. Christ on that cross, as he's on the cross, there's nothing there. It's basically not just that you're hanging there. It's that you can't breathe, because when you're hanging there like that, what is happening is the chest is being compressed. And you have to pull yourself up or push yourself up so that you can release and get air. But that means that each time you pull yourself up or you try to push up, it's another excruciating set of pain to get that breath. And he used that breath to forgive you and I. He used that breath to forgive us. And as he used that breath to forgive us, then there was that release. That's the understanding of what this is valuable to us, because now it shows us what we can do. What we can do. What's made available to us. There was a gentleman I ministered to in prison, and he looked like Carl Kuhn, except he had tattoos all over his face and all over his whole body. Just a big monster of a man. I was kind of glad that there was a piece of glass between me and him. And they let me minister to him. He got a hold of me and called me down there, and he wanted to forgive. This huge guy wanted to forgive, but he didn't know how. He didn't know how to let it go, how to release it. And as I began to understand his story, he had, as a child, he had been molested from about a year and a half through 5 or 6 years. He was being locked up in an attic space. And then just taken out to be a toy. And it was, his mom was there. His dad was not in the picture. He didn't know him at that moment, that time in his life. And this was a stepdad that was doing these things. And as he did these things, then there was another sister that was born, and this gentleman was doing the same thing to her. And he would figured out a way to get out of the attic space and get food and go back and bring it to her so she could have something to eat. At 5 years old, he's trying to take care in the midst of all that situation. But at all this was going on, then one night there was a big fight, and he actually watched this man kill his mom. After that, some relative showed up and took him to the dad. They found the dad. The dad didn't want him. And so he stayed with the dad until he was old enough to get out and get on his own, and started running with the gangs when he was 14, 15. That's where he got all the tats. When I met him, he was running the cell. But he wanted to forgive. He hadn't seen his dad since he was like 15. Hadn't seen his kids for 10 years. But he wanted to forgive. He had everything that you would expect, all the hatred, all the anger, the things that you would expect under those circumstances were all part of his emotion and part of who he was. But the same thing was, he still wanted to forgive because he had met Christ and realized there's something here for me. And so we walked through the sozo, and as we walked through the sozo, it was amazing because just the glory of God just began filling this little cell area that we're at. And there's a guard who's directly outside. He's only supposed to be in there for a maximum of 40 minutes. We were there for 2.5 hours as this man wept and cried. At first he was thrashing and mad and banging on the walls, and then he just started weeping and crying as God moved into his heart and released those things and untangled him from those things. When we let God in, when we give him the space in our heart, when we start making room in our heart, there's nothing that will be denied us, and there's a restoration to the image that God created us in the first place. There's a restoration to the image of God that was set in him as even before he was born. The amazing thing was, within 2 weeks after that encounter, he heard from his dad, and his children came and visited him. everything began to change in his life. Because see, when we begin to release, when we begin to break agreement with what the enemy has done, when we begin to release the person who was harming us, release the person who was abusing us, now all of a sudden there's an atmosphere that's set over our life that God can bless. Your forgiveness changes more than just you. It changes an atmosphere. When you're open and vulnerable for God, it changes an atmosphere. When you're open and vulnerable, it changes everything around you and for you. See, I began to see these things because I began to understand that the Lord has given to us and equipping us when He's in us. And we recognize He's in us as we're forgiving somebody. Now that means I can forgive something that I wouldn't have forgiven before. And when He's in us, and we're entering in, now we can enter in with assurance and a confidence that we didn't have before. Go with me to Jude 24. Nice try, though. Jude only has one chapter. It's parked just in front of Revelation, if you need some help there, Justin. Hallelujah. But Jude 24 says, "Now to Him who's able to keep you from stumbling and make you stand in the presence of His glory." Wow, I just feel the authority on that. "Blameless with great joy. Stand where? In the presence of His glory." You, standing in the presence of His glory. Say me, standing in the presence of His glory. "He kept me from stumbling." Why? Because He's in me. And because He's with me, He'll present me blameless before Father, before the throne. He presents me blameless before the one who's the God of all heaven and earth with great joy, with great joy, with great joy. It's His pleasure to give you the kingdom. And by giving you the kingdom, He's presenting you before the Father. That's the presentation that happens. And as that presentation happens, it releases you into the knowledge of Him. As that presentation happens, it releases you into the joy that's always around Him. Hallelujah. He teaches us. "To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, be the glory, majesty, dominion, and authority." When was His glory and majesty set up? Before all time, and now, and forever. And now, and forever. This is all set up now and forever. This authority He is putting in your life. That's the amazing thing that I loved about what Tina was teaching. Not only was she teaching us about the image, but she was teaching us about the authority that comes with it. The authority that is released. Why? Because you're walking in the image of Christ, knowing that we're created in His image, but also His image is in us. And if I begin to see that, then all the authority that I need to walk into the very presence of God is with me, and I'll receive a great joy. All the authority I need is to change an atmosphere around me is already there, and I can just begin to release it, begin to tap into it and release it into an area. It's His heart that we release. It's His life that we release. His image is both in us and for us. Go with me to Hebrews 10 real quick. Hebrews 10. Because see, He releases us into this As we understand Him, as we pursue Him, as we enter in with Him, as we engage Him, and we start engaging the places of forgiveness, we start engaging everything about Him, He'll also begin changing us and dealing with anything in our life. See, sometimes we've made salvation just about the very least that He gave. When He spoke to the thief and said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," He was releasing to him the very least that He could. Not because He wanted to, but because this guy only had hours to live. He didn't have a life to live from that moment. But we've made our salvation just about what goes next, what happens in the next life. We've made our salvation about what happens at the end of this natural life, not understanding that God created the salvation to change where we are today and to release His glory and His kingdom right here in this earth now. It was what His intention always was for us to carry the kingdom with us the way He carried the kingdom. And as He carries the kingdom, as we carry the kingdom, now all of a sudden there's an impact that is released that couldn't be released any other way. You have impact. You have the power and the authority. Why? Because Christ is in you. And Christ in you has impact. I've seen what I can do by myself. I know what I can do with Him. With Him, things get changed. With Him, just a simple prayer changes somebody's life. One time I was sitting in my office and this lady was going out and she had lupus. And as she had lupus, she just popped her head in the door and said, "Hey, I'm going to the doctor." So I said I didn't know why she was going. So I asked, "Why are you going?" And she told me. And I said, "Well, let me just say a quick prayer." When she got to the doctor, they accused her of being a twin. Because they ran the tests and she no longer had lupus. She looked like the same person, but you can't be the same person. You guys are messing with me. That's what happens when you allow the Lord to move in your dominion. And it says here that every priest, verse 11, every priest stands daily offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But He, having offered one sacrifice for sin, for all time, how long? All time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward till His enemies be made a footstool for His feet. There's something to that. I need to understand more about that. Because this mentioned, you see something mentioned multiple times. I don't know exactly what that is yet, but you see something mentioned multiple times, you need to take note. That one's mentioned at least three times that I can think of in the Word. Yes. Yes. So waiting until His enemies be made a footstool for His feet, for by one offering He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. He comes to perfect you. When you recognize He's in you, there's a perfecting of you. In other words, He comes, when He comes within you like this and you recognize Him, then He's actually making you complete. That word perfect actually is the word complete. He completed you for all time, meaning you're no longer needing something else to come alongside you. You're no longer needing something else to be enough. You're no longer needing something else to come along and make you feel like you're okay. You're complete. You're whole in Him. You're whole in Him. Because you're whole in Him, it has this function. Verse 22 says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our body washed with pure water." It's simple. because we acknowledge Him inside us. We acknowledge His life within. Now all of a sudden I can start to recognize that I have already been made clean. I'm already made whole. And I can let go of the other things that I was trying to do to make myself sufficient. Well, Pastor, what do you do to make yourself sufficient? What do you do? What do you do? See, because when I'm seeking to make myself sufficient, I'm going to employ some defense mechanism or some other action which is not going to involve Christ. There's so many different ones that we can employ. But if we're doing those things, it keeps us from actually resulting in the image that He has for us. I can be free of an evil conscience. I can come boldly into His presence. I can overcome sin because sin has no more place with me. Even as it had no place in Jesus, it has no place in you. Why? Because Jesus is in me. He's already dealing with it. Your deliverance happens because you begin to line up with His truth, because you begin to line up with His heart. We begin to line up with His image. Because I recognize that I'm not alone. I recognize that I'm not having to deal with it just in my own strength. How many of you, when you're faced with a problem, your first instinct is to fix it yourself? All the type of A's are going to raise their... Paul, raise your hand. I don't already know. Because when we're a type A, you're going to just fix it. Because if I'm in the process of fixing it, that just makes my soul feel much better. It may or may not actually get the job done, though. It may not actually, when you go to close your eyes or you go look in the mirror, it may not fix that. If Carlos is over at your house, it's not going to help you. I'm getting a lot of mileage out of this. I'm going to cut, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut that piece of hose out. I'm going to put it, I'm going to staple it up in my garage so I don't forget. That way, it's kind of ugly for that, but in my garage I can see it. I'll put it up there and it's just a reminder. Because why? Because see, I need to let God be the one who's fixing it. He already did. All I have to do is acknowledge it and let Him in this space. That means what we were talking about earlier, I think, in the word that Kim was giving and the things that Anna was saying, there was just a release of faith. There was a release of openness. And openness comes, why? Because we have faith that He is there to answer it. David, in the scriptures, there's some scriptures that are called imprecatory prayers. And basically in those scriptures, David actually begins to speak what appears to be like a word curse over things, over the enemy. But what he actually is doing is he's expressing his faith in God. He's expressing that God is the ultimate judge of every situation and releasing the situation to Him. So when Saul was searching him out, Saul was coming after him, he said, "Here, God, this is the situation. You go after him." When he was in Gath and the Philistines were he was standing and they were trying to undo him, why, then he said, "Hey, Lord, these are my enemies and you deal with it." Because he was ultimately expressing his faith in God. Sometimes our expression of our faith in God doesn't look all nice and pretty. Those didn't all look all nice and pretty, but I can tell you they were absolutely coming from a place of actual dedicated faith. I'd kind of wanted to teach about that. Maybe that'll be happening another time. But the main thing we need to take from that is, number one, we approach with a fear of God. As we approach with a fear of God, now we can release an absolute certainty that He's going to respond to the situation. I've told this before, but there was a day when I was, I woke up, I had just a vision of everything that was going on with my son. I understood exactly what was happening, understood what it meant, understood that not only did he fail his drug test, he had done a whole lot of other things, and I just instantly just knew it when I woke up. And I'm driving to work. I got to go to work. I was going to the Shepherd's Guide. I'm driving the truck to work, and I just start just asking God, what do you want? What do you want? Because at that moment, I was doing everything that I knew, and yet this thing was happening, and I was not happy about it. I'm being very, very vulnerable here. Because I was not happy about it, so I just began screaming at God. Because out of my heart, there was something that had to come out, and I had to begin to speak it out, and I began to just yell it out and scream until I couldn't scream anymore. And when I finally got quiet, because I couldn't scream anymore, I recognized that I was only doing that because I knew he was there and he was listening. It wasn't a pretty thing. It wasn't a pretty sight. And then I began to be afraid, because I was like, if I'm all these other cards, I'd be backing up from me about now, because the lightning's fixing to come. But see, when God shows you something and He begins to make it clear to you, you can have two responses. The response of my heart ultimately was faith. It just took me getting some things out of the way. And when I got those things out of the way, there was a certainty. There was just I can't even describe the assurance that rose up within me that was rock solid and would not be moved. That was the thing that God wanted in the moment. And whatever it takes to get it out, other things out of the way, just get it out of the way. Get vulnerable with Him. And because as you're vulnerable with Him, as you come into His presence and you're vulnerable with Him, recognizing He's with you and He's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to leave you all by yourself. He's going to come for you. And when He comes for you, sometimes you might be ready to... Glory to God. So He changes, recognizing that we're not alone changes the way we pray. David was so successful because he stood in the place of faith. He was so successful because he understood that his God was with him regardless of whatever else he saw in his life. Regardless of whatever else was going on around him, he knew that God was with him. I'm here to tell you this morning, God's with you. He's with you. If you read these Psalms, He's with you. In the same way that He was with David, He's not playing favorites. David was bold enough to do whatever it took to get to the God that he knew was with him. He was bold enough to say whatever it took in order to come into the place where he was in agreement with what Father had planned for him. He was bold enough, and now the only question before us now is, are we going to be bold enough to do what it takes to get before Him, to do what it takes to push into Him, to do what it takes to see Him, and to come into an alignment in His presence? That's what He's looking for. That's what He's looking for. I can tell you that just the presence of God that was just resting here this morning when I walked in. It was just resting here. I walked in, I could just feel the power. Why? Because people here are starting to press in. People here are starting to release and let go and let God. they're starting to come into the place where God has called us. You guys have made a tremendous inroads already. It's amazing to see what God is doing in the hearts of men and women in this sanctuary. And to see not only what's happening here, you know, not what happens on Sunday, but what happens on Tuesday, what happens on Wednesday, what happens on Friday night. What basically God is doing things with the people in the house. And y'all are pressing into it. God's pleased. He's pleased. It's much nicer to press into Him. I recommend pressing into Him, just coming through and entering in and letting Him be the door. It's a whole lot easier to press in that way than to scream your lungs out. Okay? Whichever way it takes for you, though, do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He comes, your completion. The more you interface with Him, the more complete you become. The more complete I become, the less I'm worried about all my defense mechanisms. That's why you can say was. 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 Because all those things was. Now we're stepping into is. And then we're stepping into it shall be. Yeah. At least I can step. Well, I got. without a breeze, exactly. God wants you to step from the was into the is, into the it shall be. He's given dominion. See, God gave dominion. He had dominion over there in the was, but we didn't give it to Him. He can have dominion in the is. And He can have dominion in it shall be. That's what we're looking for, guys. Dominion in the it shall be. Dominion in the is. Why? Because I'm willing to surrender myself, Lord. Whatever it looks like, I'm willing to surrender myself. I'm willing to be upfront with You and authentic with You. And when I'm willing to be authentic with You, Lord, now I can begin to recognize that You're here. And as I recognize that You're here, I can begin to step with You where You're taking me. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to God.